Hello again. It's Jill Burridge here, and I'm joined by David Arson, and we're going to have a look ahead to some of the concerts and recitals that are coming up. Now, Wednesday is just a reminder. I think we've mentioned these lunchtime concerts before, but they're starting up a new season again, aren't they?
Yeah.
All held in St. Peter's Church.
1 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Yep.
And they all last about an hour. No longer than that, and there is refreshments afterwards in the Octagon.
You don't need a ticket or anything.
No, just turn up. They've got some rather interesting things this month. On Wednesday, the 2nd of October, the Tanzer Ensemble. The following Wednesday, the 9th of October, Sandringham School will bring some young musicians. The following Wednesday, the 16th of October, St Albans High School for Girls, the same. And on Wednesday, the 23rd of October, Beaumont School will provide some musicians. So 3 weeks of youngsters making music, which I always find very well worth listening to. And to round the couple of months up, Wednesday the 30th of October is the Icknield Trio, which is local players. I think the trio is violin, cello and piano, I think, but I'm not absolutely certain.
Okay, so that's Wednesdays, starting 1 o'clock at St Peter's Church, and you can just turn up. So it's quite a nice little sort of interlude in the middle of the day.
Absolutely.
Right, so let's move on now to Saturday, the 5th of October. Carry-On Chamber Choir are performing at St Saviour's Church in St Albans. Interesting programme, this is sort of Bach and other things too.
Yes, their first concert of the season, Bach and Rheinberger. They're going to sing three of Bach's six motets, Lowet den Herrn, Praise the Lord, Komm Jesu komm, Come Jesus come, and Singet dem Herrn, ein neues Lied, Sing unto the Lord a new song. These pieces were written when Bach was at Leipzig, and it has been suggested that Bach wrote Singet dem Herrn as a training exercise for his young singers. It's certainly a challenging and fast-moving piece and makes technical demands on the singers, as you'll see from this short extract from the beginning of it. Komm Jesu komm was probably written for a funeral and would certainly have entertained the mourners. These motets were the only pieces of Bach's choral music that were regularly in the repertoire from his death until 1750 up to the time of the Bach Revival, which was of course led by Mendelssohn in the 19th century. They're all very listenable to, full of melody, counterpoint and interesting harmony, as of course you would expect from the great Bach. Also in the programme is the Mass in E-flat by Josef Rheinberger, one of the few romantic settings of the Mass, and like the Bach motet, it uses eight parts, which is the choir divided into two separate choirs. Rheinberger was born in 1839 in Liechtenstein, and his father actually was the Prince of Liechtenstein's treasurer. But he had such precocious musical talent that he was appointed to his first post as an organist at the age of seven.
Good Lord.
It's extraordinary. In 1851, he moved to Munich, where he stayed for the rest of his life. He became conductor of the Munich Choral Society and professor at the conservatory. He wrote a lot of organ music, but this Mass is lovely to sing and rewarding to listen to with its great sweeps of melodic invention and marked contrasts of mood. Here is the start of the Gloria.
So part of the Gloria from Rheinberger's Mass. Not a work that I'm at all familiar with.
No, it's not often done in concert. We do it in the cathedral, actually. It's in the cathedral repertoire, and we have recorded it. But it's a lovely piece. The concert also features Bach's first cello suite, played on a Baroque cello by Nikolai Ginoff. Bach wrote six cello suites, like the motets, and they are remarkable in that they sound like there is more than one instrument playing, and they're brilliantly written for the cello. They all start with a prelude and then have a number of movements based around Baroque dances. The first suite in particular is very popular and is often again used by television and filmmakers. The cello will also play the continuo bass line in the Bach motets.
So that's the Carry-On Chamber Choir doing that concert of Bach and Rheinberger, and it's at St Saviour's Church in St Albans on Saturday the 5th of October, starting at 7:30. The following evening, Sunday the 6th of October, over in Hatfield, the de Havilland Philharmonic are performing at the Western Auditorium, which is part of the university complex in Hatfield. They're doing a golden anniversary concert. Whose golden anniversary is it?
Well, theirs. Their own golden anniversary.
Oh, well done.
And as you would expect, it's full of orchestral favourites and shows off the orchestra and its conductor, Robert Browning. They start with Rachmaninoff's symphonic poem, The Isle of the Dead. This was inspired by Rachmaninoff seeing a black and white reproduction of Arnold Böcklin's painting, The Isle of the Dead. He later, funnily enough, saw the original and said that if he had seen this first, he probably wouldn't have written the piece because he preferred it in black and white. It starts with the sound of oars in the water and quotes from the plain chant melody from the funeral service, the Dies Irae. And they follow this with Ravel's Pavane for a Dead Infanta. A pavane is a slow dance which enjoyed great popularity in the courts of Europe throughout the 16th and 17th centuries, and this piece, Pavane, is considered one of his masterpieces. The mood then brightens up somewhat with Rimsky-Korsakov's Le Coq d'Or, The Golden Cockerel, an orchestral suite lasting around 25 minutes. It was originally written as an opera, but the orchestral suite is more often performed. It begins with a high trumpet call, perhaps the cockerel, and is full of orchestral colour and is a great piece to show off the de Havilland Phil on their golden anniversary. They finish the concert with Rachmaninoff's Second Symphony, one of the greatest of all the Russian Romantic works. It was first performed in St. Petersburg in 1908. At the time, Rachmaninoff had enjoyed two successful seasons at the Bolshoi Theatre, but considered that his schedule was getting in the way of his composing, which he thought of as the most important part of his career. He therefore moved with his family to Dresden, which meant that, one, he could spend more time composing, but also meant that he could escape the political tumult which would put Russia on the path to revolution. The Second Symphony was written at around the same time as The Isle of the Dead, which started the programme. His First Symphony had met with mixed reviews, and this had caused him somewhat to doubt his talent. But the Second Piano Concerto and the Second Symphony were great successes and restored Rachmaninoff's confidence. It is undoubtedly one of the great Russian Romantic works, and some of its ideas have been used by songwriters, jazz musicians, and of course filmmakers. If you like the sound of an orchestra enjoying itself, you will love this piece, Rachmaninoff at his most melodic, colourful, and of course romantic. Here's a bit of the third movement.
It is very lush, isn't it?
It is.
So that's the concert on the 6th of October, Sunday the 6th of October, the de Havilland Philharmonic celebrating their golden anniversary at the Western Auditorium in Hatfield as part of the university complex there. Starts at 7:30. Then Saturday, October the 12th, there is quite a lineup for this St. Cecilia Festival Chorus at the Cathedral in St. Albans.
Yes.
Starting at 7:30. I mean, goodness me, how many choirs have we got?
Well, the St. Cecilia Festival happens every other year, and this is one of the years. And the festival chorus is made up of St. Albans Chamber Choir, the Harding Choir, the Radlett Choral Society, a massed children's choir from across Hertfordshire, and on this occasion by Vivamus, a small London-based chamber choir whose regular conductor is Rufus Froud, who also conducts the Harding Choir and is conducting this concert.
Right.
So quite a cast list.
It is.
The programme is celebratory and maritime. The evening starts with Britain's Fanfare for St. Edmundsbury. This is a piece for three trumpets, which Britain wrote for a pageant of Magna Carta, which took place in the grounds of St. Edmundsbury Cathedral in 1959. The orchestra will then perform two of the sea interludes, Dawn and Sunday Morning. These are fantastically atmospheric pieces and are often played in concert and are ideal for this one, obviously, which also features Jonathan Dove's three seaside postcards. I love Jonathan Dove's music. It's always tuneful, rhythmically interesting, and there is no doubt that he has a unique voice in the English music of today. The concert finishes with Vaughan Williams' great Sea Symphony. The choirs sing the words of the American poet Walt Whitman, and this is Vaughan Williams' first and longest symphony. It's a wonderful work with much variety of mood as the sea itself, and provides a fitting climax to what should be a splendid concert. Here is the very beginning of the first movement.
Wonderful start to Vaughan Williams' Sea Symphony, which will be part of the concert given in the Cathedral, St Albans Cathedral, 7:30 on Saturday, October the 12th, to celebrate St Cecilia Festival. Then we move to the following Saturday, 19th of October. The Hearts Philharmonia are again at St Saviour's Church on Sandpit Lane in St Albans, and they too are doing sort of seaside-y things.
Yes, they've called their concert the English Countryside and Seaside, and it features Elgar's In the South and Sea Pictures and Vaughan Williams's Pastoral Symphony. Elgar wrote In the South as a concert overture or a tone poem while on holiday with his family in Alassio on the Italian Riviera. He described its composition as he was, you know, sort of wandering about enjoying life. And then he says, "In a flash it came to me, the conflict of armies on that very spot long ago where I now stood, the contrast of the ruin and the shepherd. And then all of a sudden I came back to reality. In that time I had composed the overture. The rest was merely writing it down." It's extraordinary. I mean, the piece lasts about 20 minutes. I've only heard a story like that from Mozart, apparently, who sort of composed pieces
in his head,
and then, you know, the long time was writing them down.
I mean, it's the thought, the idea that you could remember in your head something that's 20 minutes
long. It is extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyway, the next thing is the Sea Pictures, Opus 37, which is a song cycle for mezzo-soprano and orchestra, setting the poems of five different poets, including Alice, his wife, and all on the subject of the sea. It was first conceived for soprano, but Elgar was persuaded to put it down in pitch at the request of the contralto Clara Butt, who gave the first performance, would you believe, dressed as a mermaid.
Right.
They are very popular. They're a very popular part of the mezzo repertoire and have been sung and recorded by Janet Maker, among many others. Now, Vaughan Williams' third symphony, The Pastoral, was written in 1922 and is often misunderstood, as it really isn't a pastoral symphony at all, but the composer's reflections on the horrors of the First World War, in which he himself was an ambulance driver. Sir Roger Norrington describes the four movements as four seasons, starting with summer, but the trumpeter, who is heard in the second movement, you know will soon be dead, and the soprano, who appears only in the very last movement, who is presumably his lover, knows that she will not see him again. So it's a sort of elegy for all those who died, a very moving and beautiful symphony, and here's just the very beginning of the first movement.
That sounds a lovely lineup too, doesn't it? Saturday, the 19th of October, including the Vaughan Williams Pastoral Symphony, the concert by the Hearts Philharmonia will be at St Saviour's Church in St Albans on Sandpit Lane, starting at 7:30.
That's right.
Then Saturday the 19th is also the day, so we've got two concerts on that night, for Hertfordshire Chorus's performance. They'll be in the Cathedral at 7:30.
Under their conductor David Temple, they're singing Mendelssohn's great oratorio Elijah, a dramatic version in music of the Old Testament story about the prophet Elijah and his contest with the priests of Baal. It is deservedly one of the most popular choral works regularly performed in this country, a favourite with both choruses and audiences.
And then lastly, today, a mention for St Albans Chamber Opera Company. They'll be performing at the Abbey Theatre Studio at 8 o'clock on Thursday the 24th and on Friday the 25th of October.
Right.
What are they doing?
They're doing a piece called The Boatswain's Mate by Ethel Smythe. another musical offering with a nautical theme. Mm. Ethel Smythe was a composer and member of the women's suffrage movement and the first female composer to be granted a damehood. On her 75th birthday in 1934, there was a festival of her music, arranged by Sir Thomas Beecham, culminating in a concert in the Albert Hall in the presence of the Queen, and conducted by Sir Thomas Beecham, who was a great promoter of her work. Tragically, at this moment of final recognition, she was completely deaf, and so could hear neither her own music nor the adulation of the crowds. Very sad.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, her one-act opera, The Boatswain's Mate, which St Albans Chamber Opera is performing in the Abbey Theatre studio, was described by one critic as one of the merriest, most tuneful and delightful comic operas ever put on stage. The story is about the battle of the sexes and concerns a feisty and resourceful heroine who outwits her scheming suitor. It was her fourth opera and has been described as feminist. It uses folk songs and Smythe's own March of the Women in its material. The first performance was at the Shaftesbury Theatre in London, and Beecham had arranged for it to be conducted by Eugene Goossens. But on the day, the composer decided that she was going to conduct it. Beecham was very annoyed, as he had taken all the preliminary orchestral rehearsals. At the last moment, he wrote, she took over the baton, thinking herself the heaven-sent conductor. She was not. So he was not very happy about it. Anyway, it'll be a jolly evening and continues our nautical theme. And here is a little taster, is the overture, played not in an orchestra, but as this performance will be accompanied on the piano.
Ethel Smythe's The Boatswain's Mate. I've never heard of that before. Yes.
No, not very often done.
So that's Thursday the 24th and Friday the 25th of October. St Albans Chamber Opera Company are performing at the Abbey Theatre Studio starting 8 o'clock on both evenings.
Yep.
So quite a lineup for September and October.
Yes, great start to the season.
It is indeed. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you.
Well, thanks to David and Jill for that dip into the world of classical music as we can find it in those venues around the city and district.